ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 75 द इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स। दिस नेक्स्ट थ्री वर्सेस, दिस वर्स एंड नेक्स्ट टू वर्सेस are repeated by Narad Muni twice. Very rare verses where verses are repeated twice in the same section of the Bhagavat. He is concluding the instruction to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He started speaking the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Then he gave instruction for the civilized human being. And then he speaks something which is spoken already to reconfirm the value of or this people, Pandavas. Very interesting verse. Yuyam Yuyam Nriloke Batabhuri Bhaga Lokam Punana Munayo Bhiyanti Esham Grahana Vasatiti Saksha गूढ़ं परब्रह्म मनुष्यलिंगम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर महाराज युधिष्ठिर, यू पांडवास आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट इन दिस वर्ल्ड दैट मेनी मेनी ग्रेट सेंट्स हु कैन प्यूरिफाई ऑल द प्लैनेट्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स कम टू योर हाउस जस्ट लाइक ऑर्डिनरी विजिटर्स। Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. Purport. Here is a statement exalting a Vaishnava. In human society, a Brahmana is the most respected person. A Brahmana is one who can understand Brahma, the impersonal Brahman. But hardly ever can one understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita as Param Brahma. A Brahmana may be extremely fortunate in having achieved Brahma Gyan. But the Pandavas were so exalted that the Param Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was living in their house like an ordinary human being. The word Bhuri Bhagaha indicates that the Pandavas were in still higher position than Brahmacharis and Brahmanas. In the following verse, Narad Muni repeatedly glorifies the position of the Pandavas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parabrahman Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director and your spiritual master. Of the same verse in the 10th chapter of the 7th canto, after hearing about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee should be very anxious to follow in his footsteps. But such a devotee might be disappointed, thinking that not every devotee can come to the standard of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a pure devotee. He always thinks himself to be the lowest, to be incompetent and unqualified. Thus, after hearing the narration of Prahlad Maharaj's activities, Maharaj Yudhishthir, who was on the same standard of devotional service as Prahlad, might have been thinking of his own humble position. Narad Muni, however, could understand Maharaj Yudhishthira's mind and therefore he immediately encouraged him by saying that the Pandavas are not less fortunate. They were as good as Prahlad Maharaj, because although Lord Narsingdev appeared for Prahlad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as Krishna was always living with the Pandavas. Although the Pandavas, because of the influence of Krishna's Yoga Maya, could not think of their fortunate position, every saintly person, including the great sage Narada, could understand it, and therefore they constantly visited Maharaj Yudhishthir. Any pure devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. The word Nriloke, meaning within the material world, indicates that before the Pandavas, there had been many, many devotees, such as the descendants of the Yadu dynasty, and the Vashistha, Marichi, Kashyapa, and Lord Brahma and Shiva, were all extremely fortunate. The Pandavas, however, were better than all of them, because Krishna himself, lived with them constantly. Narad Muni therefore specifically mentioned that within this world, Nriloke, that Pandavas were the most fortunate. I remember when we used to hear stories about demons in childhood. One of the interesting factors about demons' life was their life would be somewhere else. In some parrot or in some bird. Only if you kill that, then the demon is killed. Exactly, Krishna is like that. His soul is in the Pandavas. In fact, in the Mahabharata, when he was supposed to, when Arjuna took that vow of killing Jayadrath, the Lord said that actually my life is Arjun. If he is killed, I am finished. And anybody is the friend of Arjuna, he is my friend. And anyone who is enemy of Arjuna, he is my enemy. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doesn't have separate identity. Just like a devotee does not have a separate identity other than his Lord. He cannot think. So in that point of view, the Vaishnavas also talk about merger, oneness. Oneness means having no separate identity. So similarly for the Lord, there is no separate identity. There is no separate pleasure. There is no separate place. There is no separate opulence. There is no separate wealth. What to speak of having all these things? He doesn't have a separate soul. His very soul is his devotees. And he proclaims it many times. Therefore, it's a gift of the Lord that we are able to recite this shloka. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is giving this nectar of this verse. Bhagavatam is the real wealth. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami, in one of his verse, glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Bhagavatam is my bandhu. Bhagavatam is my wealth. Bhagavatam is everything for me. And we can understand little with all of our material conditioning. Still when such description is given in the Shastra, at least as a reflection, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains, sometimes even one who is not exactly a devotee, but he comes in contact with pure devotees. In the reflection of their pure devotion, he also exhibits certain ecstasy, certain pleasure, certain happiness. So here is this verse which glorifies the Pandavas to such an extent that Krishna or Narad Muni, he has access to all kinds of devotees and is speaking again and again. And Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjun, Bhaktosime Sakha Cheti. To be a Bhakta is one thing, to be a Sakha, my friend, that's a more difficult one. Therefore, both this verse, Yuyam Nriloke, and in the fifth canto, in the conclusion of the description of dynasty of Priyavrat, King Rishabh, Shukadeva Goswami, again we see how the speaker understands the heart and the mind of the listener. We don't. And therefore, in the public speaking, one of the art is know your audience. What is this? This is not a great idea. The great idea is given in the Bhagavad. The speaker needs to know the heart of his audience. And Shukadeva Goswami and Yudhishthira Maharaj are so good in knowing the heart of their audience. They see what is there in the heart. Therefore, in the fifth canto, when Shukadeva Goswami was describing the dynasty of the Priyavrat Maharaj and King Rishabh, and you could feel again the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, who am I? What is my position? Lord did not appear in my family. He appeared in the family of Priyavrat Maharaj. He appeared in the family of Rishabh. I am nobody, as Prabhupada mentions. That when you are connected to or when you hear about somebody very great, the natural symptom for a devotee is that he is humbled. And natural symptom for a materialistic person that is envied. Why he? Why not me? So Parikshit Maharaj is exhibiting a natural humility of a devotee. He said, I am no good. I am nobody. And these both verses are picked up by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, glorifying pure devotional service, the Bhava Bhakti. And Sukadeva Goswami, knowing the heart, feeling the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, he says, Rajan Patir Gurur Alam Bhavatam Yadunam. Daivam Priya Kulapati Kochakin Korova. Astvevam Anga Bhagwan Bhajatam Mukundo. Muktim Dadati Svana Bhakti Yoga. He said, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, what can I say about your family? Your family is so great that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna was acting as anything what you can conceive, Prabhupada says. You conceive about Krishna, what role is he willing to accept for his devotee? Conceiving, imagination, you imagine, can Krishna be like this for his devotee? He has already done that. Your conceiving is far old schooled. No, it's like, has no value. Because whatever you can conceive has been already executed by the Lord for his devotees. Very beautifully spoken by Prabhupada. Whatever you can conceive, the Lord was acting like that. That is the quality of Pandava. Again, Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they are also not ordinary. Both, from the womb itself, they saw Krishna. One was assured, Krishna assured Sukadeva Goswami, saying that, do not worry, you come out. Lord had to come and specifically tell him, don't worry, Maya will not touch you. That is the insurance policy. Otherwise, all other insurance policies simply a fake. It's a business. But here Krishna is giving that assurance to Sukadeva Goswami, you come out, Maya will not touch you. And Sukadeva Goswami comes out. And what is Parikshit Maharaj? The Lord appears from the womb of Devaki, but he enters in the womb of Uttara. He enters into the womb of Uttara and Parikshit Maharaj sees Angusta Matra Mamalam, that the Lord appeared in a very small form, like a thumb size, but glittering, shining. The whole form of the Lord was seen by Parikshit Maharaj as small as this thumb size. That was the first audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from there he comes out along with the Lord. He is dead. Basically he was killed by Ashwatthama's fiery weapon, Brahmastra. You know, it's like coming out. Just like two friends come out of the hotel room. Or two friends come to the temple hall. Similarly, Lord and Parikshit Maharaj come out of the womb of Uttara. Just imagine what a good fortune Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So therefore for them to understand each other's heart, to touch the heart of Parikshit Maharaj is not at all difficult. Similarly, Narad Muni, knowing the heart of the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj, feeling that despondency, oh, what a devotee Prahlad. What a great devotee Prahlad Maharaj is. The Supreme Personality of God had personally appeared to protect him. He completely forgot that Krishna stays with him. Just see that Prahlad Maharaj met Lord Narsingdev for how long? As long as Narsingdev heard the prayers of Prahlad. And after that, Lord Narsingdev tempted Prahlad Maharaj by offering very big, big benedictions, material benediction. And Prahlad chastised the Lord. He said, this is not right. What kind of benediction are you giving? He said, the master is not a master if he is pampering his servant. And servant is not a servant is asking for material benediction. I don't want his benediction. Give me pure devotional service. And Lord Narsingdev was amazed. So he came to, Prahlad offered his prayers, but along with that he chastised also, gave the benediction. He said, you'll be glorified within the three worlds. And he went away from there. So seeing that, Yudhishthira Maharaj is not comparing who is greater, am I greater or Prahlad is greater, how long Lord stayed with me. He came one time, second time, third time, fourth time. That is how we calculate. You know, Guru spent so much of time with me. That means I am greater than other disciples. Tere ghar pe kitne baar aaye Maharaj? He came so many times in my house. That is a total material calculation. The Lord is staying in the house of the Lord, Pandavas, to such an extent. And he's not simply staying. The Lord is staying and actively rendering service to the Pandavas, almost like a servant, almost like a president, almost like a messenger, almost like, you know, chariot driver. You mean you ask anything and Krishna is willing to do it without the Pandavas asking that. And then Prabhupada says, Krishna is also offering regular obeisances to the Pandavas. Yudhishthira Maharaj, whenever the Lord would come, this is one of the beautiful sights of the Mahabharata or Bhagavat, that the meeting, that is Vaishnava culture, not shaking your hand. The Vaishnava culture is the Lord, only once or twice, Lord Brahma did with Lord Krishna. That's a very official relationship. Brahmaji is doing the universal affair, therefore he shook his hand. But in the house of the Pandavas, when Krishna comes inside, the peculiar sight is that the Lord bends down to touch the feet of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj puts his hand on the shoulder of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhima is older than Krishna, but because there is such an intimacy, like Manu Samhita explains, very interesting point, that in the family, no, in the village, if someone is of a Brahmana community, even if another Brahmana is 3 years older, they are considered as equals. You should treat them as equals. And artistic, those who are performers of art, if there are two artists and their age gap is 5 years, they should be considered as equal. And one more thing they say, but in the family, even if somebody is one day older than you, you should respect him. Your brother, you know, even if he's like two children are conceived together, twins, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakshu were conceived together, but Hiranyakshu said, my older brother, Hiranyakashipu. He respected him. So that is the culture. So Krishna, there is a greater intimacy with Bhima, but still there is a respect. And with Arjuna, there is embracing. And with Nakula and Sahadev, accepting their namaskar. There is a typical sin. And then Kunti, going to Kunti and she crying tears, smelling the head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because she is almost like his mother, his aunt, father's sister. So here Krishna is staying in the house of the Pandavas, doing all kinds of activities constantly. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking, I am not a good devotee. Prahlad is greater devotee. So how can Lord not be attracted to such consciousness? The consciousness of the Pandava, just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. When Rupa and Sanatan came, another gentlemanliness. When Rupa and Sanatan came to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole description given by Kaviraj Goswami, that they exhibited such a humility, holding a straw in between their teeth, putting a cloth in their neck, like a criminal. The criminals have cloth in their neck. So they have a cloth within their neck, exhibiting that we are fallen, straw in the teeth that we are fallen, and offering obeisances from a distance, not almost pulling the leg of their guru. People come to offer obeisances to spiritual master, they have to hold it tightly, almost, you know, making him lose his balance. But Rupa and Sanatan offering obeisance from such a distance, lying in the mud, in the soil, like one very royal Punjabi, he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from a distance. He had a Punjabi dress and he was distinctly, you know, refined. And it was rainy season. When he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur right in the middle of the road, and it is not tar road, it's a red soil, he offered prostrated pranams. And Saraswati Thakur said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing like this? And this man said, if I become stingy, if I become tight fist in regards to offering obeisances, what else do we have other than offering obeisances to you? We do not possess anything in this world except our body. And if I cannot do this, what is the use of this body? And Saraswati Thakur was very pleased with him. So therefore here the Pandavas are exhibiting that qualities to Krishna. Rupa Sanatan did that, offering obeisance from a distance. And the Lord was very pleased. So therefore in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, that Pandavas are there in every chapter. In the form of Parikshit Maharaj asking question, Krishna narrating. At least once Sukadeva Goswami says, "O Rajan," whom is he addressing? He is addressing Parikshit Maharaj only. He is addressing Parikshit Maharaj in connection with the Pandavas. So whether it is Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or the Gaudiya literature compiled by Sanatan Goswami Brihat Bhagavatamrita, you cannot avoid the Pandavas. Therefore somebody said, why Prabhupada gave the name Radha Parthasarathi? Why not? How can you even raise that question about how can Prabhupada name D.T. Parthasarathi, Radha Parthasarathi? It's a rasabhas. Those who say rasabhas, their rasa is bhas. Because Pandavas are there in every sphere, in all the shastras. In the Mahabharata they are there, Janamejaya is there. In the Bhagavatam, they are there. In fact, Jiva Goswami explains, Bhagavatam is not only the commentary for Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavatam is also commentary for Mahabharata. It's also commentary for Mahabharata. Therefore, everywhere, in the 10th canto also, when Parikshit Maharaj is about to start hearing Krishna's divine pastime in Vrindavan, what did he say? He said, my dear master, do not speak in brief. Go on speaking as detailed as possible. And rest be assured that I am not thirsty. I am not feeling sleepy. I am not hungry. In fact, these things do not bother me while I am drinking the nectar of Harikatha. He said, that is my nourishment. So he confirmed. And Sukadeva Goswami continues speaking Harikatha. When Sukadeva Goswami speaks Harikatha, and when Parikshit Maharaj listens to Harikatha, they are finished. They are not there. They are actually into the pastime. But even in that, when he is narrating the pastime of Putana coming to Vrindavan, how Sukadeva Goswami becomes super sensitive? He realizes that Parikshit Maharaj become very concerned about Krishna's protection, that Putana is coming to Vrindavan. Just imagine, the story has already taken place many years back. Parikshit Maharaj ruled for 60 years. Pandavas ruled for 30 years, 90 years, and Vrindavan Lila must have taken when Krishna was very young, 7 years old. Prabhupada says Krishna was 125 years old when he was on the battle of Kurukshetra speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So at least it's about, you know, 200 years old story. What Putana's story, more than 200, because the story took place within 1 month of Krishna's birth. Old story. That you don't get concerned. The tears might come when you're watching drama, but you don't get concerned. The dramatist, one who is performing the drama, he will not say, don't worry, Krishna will take care of it. Even though his audience are crying, the actor is happy, let them cry. That means my acting is coming out really good. But here Parikshit Maharaj is listening to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami is saying that Khechari, she came flying to Vrindavan with the intention of killing Krishna. And immediately Sukadeva Goswami could see Parikshit Maharaj not expressing. He did not say anything. He could actually feel that Parikshit Maharaj is acting as a parental, as a parent of Krishna, concerned. There should be a protection. He said, don't worry, Parikshit. He said, what to speak of happening something to Krishna, simply hearing about Krishna's Hari Kirtan, Hari Naam, all the bad effects of haunting of ghost will be destroyed. So you continue hearing Harikatha. You don't have to worry about what will happen to Krishna. So therefore we see the whole Bhagavatam is super sensitive. And mundane world means be ruthless as possible. Do not care about other sensitivity. That is how the material world works. But in the spiritual world, in the spiritual realm, the sensitivity of the people is so high. You're narrating the story, but you're feeling like that. And Krishna similarly like that. When, again in the Mahabharata, it is explained when Arjuna took that vow that I will kill Jayadrath before sunset tomorrow. And Arjuna was asked by Krishna, I said, why did you do this? Like our Srinivas Swacharya was mentioning, that the clause, the rule on the battlefield was that unless all the 100 sons of Pandava, 100 sons of Kurus, Duryodhana's brother, are killed, till then Pandavas cannot be called as victorious. But even one son of the Pandu is killed, then that means they are lost. That was the rule. Just see, height of, you know, unfair means, right in front of Krishna, that even one son of Pandu is killed, then the Kauravas will reign. But unless 100 sons of Kurus are killed, then Pandavas cannot become king. Therefore, when the match was taking place between Duryodhan, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, the guru of Gandhi, he told Duryodhan, he said, you come out of the water and choose to fight with any one of us. It's okay. Krishna said, you fool. No. How can you say like that? He might choose Nakul to fight with. And he said, come on, let us have a mace fighting. And if he's defeated, what did Yudhishthira Maharaj say? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, if you defeat any one of us, you take over the kingship. That is how Yudhishthira Maharaj is very innocent. Height of innocence. Therefore, Krishna had to use all kinds of tricks. The tricks of Krishna were response to Yudhishthira Maharaj's innocency. They were not, you know, coming because Krishna wanted to be acting like that. Because he was responding. So Krishna said, how can you say like this? Then again, some other Duryodhan did not understand. He is super insensitive to understand anybody's heart. So Krishna spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But still, he was not connected to the transcendental vibration. Even though he was always scheming for killing, murdering, poisoning, doing so many things, but he could not hear that. And what did he say? I want to fight with Bhima. So Krishna said, Yudhishthira, you are saved. Now Yudhishthira, Bhima will do that. So similarly, when Arjuna took a vow that before sunset tomorrow evening, I will kill Jayadrath. And the Lord said, my dear Arjuna, what kind of vow is this? Arjuna, the peculiar style of acting. You know, some people have a habit of doing the same thing, even though they are told not to do it. Putting their fingers in the mouth, biting their nails. So Arjuna's habit is that, taking a vow of jumping into the fire. If I don't do this, I'll jump into the fire. This happened before also. This happened after also, when Krishna's one Brahmana man came and he was cursing the Pandavas that what is your greatness? You know, my sons are being killed and you are not doing anything. He was condemning Krishna and Balaram. And Arjuna said, I'll protect your sons. And if I don't, I will jump into the fire. So Krishna saved Arjuna's vows not because he wanted to protect the son of a Brahmana, because Arjuna was about to jump into the fire. So Krishna went around, protected the son of this Brahmana. So when Arjuna took this vow, and Krishna said, what is this? How can you fulfill your vow? Do you understand? Who are you facing? Dronacharya is there. You can't defeat him. Karana is there. All the six Maharathis are there. And there is big news is that they are very happy. If they can stop you killing Jayadrath, their victory is guaranteed. Once you jump into the fire, the Pandavas are like one soul, five bodies. It is not that if Arjun dies, they will stay. They know, and they say also, if Arjun is finished, all other Pandavas are finished. All other Pandavas are finished, Krishna is also finished. So they understand it indirectly how Krishna is connected to the Pandavas. So Arjuna said, my dear Lord, I take vow and you fulfill it. It is your responsibility. So therefore, Arjuna went to sleep very nicely. He had no sleepless night. Rather, he was dreaming nicely. He had a nice dream that how Lord Shiva is helping him. He and Krishna have gone to the Kailash, you know, meeting Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva has given them special weapon, and Krishna is driving. And what's happening here in Krishna's camp? Krishna is rolling back and forth. He has a sleepless night. He's not able to sleep. What will happen to Arjuna? Then he speaks on that bed that if anything happens to Arjuna, if something goes wrong on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he said, I will destroy all the Kurus, even though I have taken the vow of not killing anybody. But I cannot stand a separation of my dear friend Arjuna. And there the Lord says, Arjuna is very my life. Anyone who befriends Arjuna is my friend. And anyone who is the enemy of Arjuna is my enemy. And the Lord decided, tomorrow I will ask Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver. Krishna has the best of the chariot driver, but here Krishna has become chariot driver of his devotee. He said, I will ask my chariot driver to prepare all the weapons, my Sudarshan, my Saranga, my Nandaki sword. And when I blow my conch in Rishabha note, then you have to come on the battlefield. Because when you come on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I'm going to destroy all the Kurus if Arjuna cannot do this. So thinking, then Krishna had a nice sleep. He went to sleep nicely. And next morning, Arjuna got up and he talked about the dream. And Krishna did not spoke about his plan. He had only told Daruka. He would tell Daruka. And he told Daruka, I will blow in Rishabha note. Of course, that did not happen. That Krishna arranged in such a way that he covered the sun. He created a yoga maya. And the Kurus felt that sun is set. And now Arjuna's death is guaranteed. And Jayadrata was jumping as high as possible. Hari bol, hari bol. So he was jumping and he came, showing his face to Arjuna. You know, raising his neck. Krishna said, this is the best time. Shoot an arrow. Because Lord already told Arjuna that I am going to do this. And they will be not so alert. When they come closer, you shoot. And when Jayadrata was coming closer, and Arjuna took this weapon, and Krishna indicated, you shoot an arrow in such a way that his head should not fall on the ground. So Arjuna was so expert. He shot an arrow, and he shot another arrow to lead that head on the lap of Jayadrata's father. Because Jayadrata's father had asked this benediction that anyone who makes my son's head fall on the ground, his head should split into millions of pieces. And Krishna knows everybody's heart. So what happened? Krishna did not allow Arjuna, you know, to make that head fall on the ground. And Arjuna could, by the grace of the Lord, send a weapon. And the body came, the head came and fell on the lap of the father of Jayadrata. What was his name? Brihadraksha, I think. And he just pushed it down. And you know what happened. His head split into millions of pieces. So therefore, how Krishna to the Pandavas going as a peacemaker. When he was going as a peacemaker, even Bhima said, my Lord, try for peace. And Krishna said, I've never heard fire becoming like ice. And sun emanating cool rays. And moon become burning. No, that you don't ever hear. And Bhima becoming, you know, talking about peace. What happened to you? You have become very scared of the Kurus. He said, no. He said, don't misunderstand me. I said, I don't misunderstand you. I want to understand you rightly only. You know, you should be in your right situation. And Krishna, when he was walking out, Draupadi came there. He said, my Lord, I'm waiting so long. And you are going for peace conference. He said, no, that will not happen. Because Krishna had taken vow in Kampilya, I think in one forest, after the gambling match, and all the Kurus tried to disrobe Draupadi, and nobody could protect, only Krishna could protect her. So then, when Krishna met Draupadi, he said, I will see, Till then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not personally get involved into Pandava's affair. He was very much alert, aware. He sent, after the death of Kamsa, he sent Akrura as the messenger, warning Dhritarashtra that be careful, take good care of Pandavas. He had not met the Pandavas also, but the message came in the assembly of Dhritarashtra, knowing very well. And after that, they planned to kill Pandavas by sending them to the house of Laksha, the Lakshagraha. So when Krishna, what was I saying? Yeah, Draupadi, Krishna told Draupadi, because Draupadi felt that Krishna will go and there will be peace, he'll make peace, and again Yudhishthira and Duryodhan will stay together. She couldn't stand it. And naturally she should not stand it. And even we should not stand it. So Krishna said, my dear Draupadi, he said, the Himalayan mountains may melt and become powder. Sun may stop giving his rays and moon may stop giving his rays. Ocean may dry up, but he said, my vow which I have taken for you, he said, never go in vain. I am going there to agitate, not to have a peace march. Very clear goal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was willing to fulfill any desires of the Pandavas at the cost of destroying the 11 and 7 Akshoyini Sainya. One may say, this is unfair. Of course, we can justify whatever Krishna did beyond fulfilling the desires for his devotees, but also from the principle of dharma. But forget all that. But take this one, that Krishna was very eager to fulfill the desires of his devotees, and therefore he came to Hastinapur. And from very beginning, the whole act of Krishna coming as a peacemaker was very provocative. Krishna did not stay in their palace. He walked into the house of Vidura. He did not stay with Bhishma also. He did not stay with Dronacharya also. He did not stay in anybody's house. He did not honor, what to speak, honoring. He did not eat their food. Because the whole purpose of their arranging everything for the Lord was to buy him. Let us purchase Krishna. And Krishna did not like that. Therefore, he went to the house of Vidura and ate food in the house of Vidura. And Duryodhana asked him, he said, hey Vasudev, why you did not eat in my house? I had prepared such a big lunch for you. All my chefs were cooking. Krishna said, I am not hungry and you don't love me. He said, only two places you eat. If somebody is hungry and if there is affectionate relationship. You don't love me and I am not hungry. So therefore, there is no question of eating. And he said, contaminated food should never be eaten. And specially served by contaminated people. No outside food. Krishna is very clear. And then, when the Lord came as a messenger, he spoke so provocative to Duryodhan, to Dhritarashtra, to Bhishma, to Drona. He said, bind this rascal Duryodhan and give him as an animal to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then everything will become peaceful. So that was a very point where peace was not supposed to be established. And that's what actually Krishna wanted. Peacemaking was simply an excuse. And Vidura also said, my lord, where are you going? This Duryodhan is not going to listen to you. He has got so many disqualifications for hearing. There is a qualification to hear, there is a disqualification to hear also. And he named all the disqualifications. And there Krishna said, look, I have to do my duty. He said, when you want to do something good, even if the good does not happen, you get the credit of doing good. I want some punya. I want some punya karma of trying to do good. I know what you are saying is right, but still I will try. So Krishna came and spoke to all the Kurus. They were not agreeing. He said, oh, I have done my duty. I came as a peacemaker. Do not blame me that I was responsible for this battle. Now I am going back. So Krishna went back and came along with the Pandavas with the intention of destroying all the Kurus. And he did it. And again, when Draupadi was being disrobed, Mahabharata very beautifully explains that she says, my lord, you have to protect me for four reasons. One is Gaurava. What is Gaurava? As a woman, she needs to be respected. And I'm not ordinary woman. I'm born from the fire. Not ordinary fire. It's a fire of Yajna. Therefore, for this reason, my respect has to be maintained. You cannot allow me to be disrobed. And second, he said, because you are my friend, I'm your friend, Sakhu. Because of this Sakyaras, you have to protect me. And third, because I'm your relative, I am the daughter-in-law of your aunt, Mother Kunti. So therefore you protect me. And fourth, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have taken the responsibility of protecting all the weak souls, those who are helpless. In this condition, nobody is willing to help me. Only you can help me, my Lord. Please therefore come and protect. She offered her prayers, and certainly, sure enough, Krishna comes and protected Draupadi. And the Dakshinatya part, the Gita press doesn't have this verse, but the southern version of Mahabharata quoted by many Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, this verse is there. When the Lord was going back to the spiritual world, there was a regret in the heart of Krishna. What was the regret? The regret was, I delayed in protecting Draupadi. She had to suffer so much. Just like if a mother sees that her baby, you know, she will remember this story for the rest of her life. If the baby is fallen in the water, in the body of water, and the baby is suffocating, you know, it's taken long time to protect. After long torture, when the baby is protected, the mother will always feel, oh, I should have immediately protected. She will continue to remember that sight. Even after many years, oh, I should have protected my baby immediately, but that child had to suffer so much. Even though the child is protected. So similarly, Krishna, at the time of his departure back to the spiritual world, Mahabharata says the Lord was thinking, oh, I did not timely protect Draupadi. He was feeling that I was at fault. I should have gone immediately and protected. So Krishna was thinking like that. So this is the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you want to know more about Pandavas with Krishna, then read the Mahabharata. All the stories in the Mahabharata. In fact, Vyasadeva says that the root of the Pandavas' life was Krishna. And the root of Kuru's life was Dhritarashtra. Just see the difference. Duryodhana is like a tree and Yudhishthira Maharaj is like a tree. And the root of that tree was Dhritarashtra. So what do you expect? Without Dharma, without saintly people, and without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the tree will grow. It is not that the trees don't grow, especially the thorn trees. I remember when we had our old farm in Wada, in Down, the whole place was filled with thorn trees. Other trees, even the, you know, good trees, deep roots, but you could remove it. But even bulldozing this thorn tree, the bulldoze blade would get stuck. And the blade would break, but the roots would not come out. Very difficult. They had to burn it, do so many things, then it would come out. So therefore, even the bad trees go very deeply. Dhritarashtra was not only the root, Dushyasana was also root, deeper root, evil, and Duryodhana also. And to pull them out from the evil intention was not very easy. To such an extent that they never felt that they made a mistake. It is one thing, okay, you make a mistake and you regret. But Dushyasana and Duryodhana never ever felt that they actually made a mistake in trying to disrobe Draupadi. Rather, they were thinking that what is the harm in us? She is beautiful and beauty is there for us to exploit. So when Bhima asked which hand was that, you can imagine the anger of Bhima. Extremely angry that he was helpless when Draupadi was in difficulty. When he asked, you know, one commentator says that Dushyasana saw the anger on the face of Bhima and he felt pleasure. Even at this point of time when I am dying, I am causing angry to Bhima. That's great. I am making him angry. Just see, still I am making him frustrated. That was the pleasure of Dushyasan. Just see how the root was deeply. So it has to be, they are nourished by poison. Like some insects, when in the beginning the DDT came, right? It was meant to kill the poisonous entities. So they adapted. Let us make it our nourishment. When you make poison as your nourishing element, then you know what is the point? What can you kill them with? So the Kurus were nourishing themselves by poisonous behavior. That was their, you know, prosperity. And therefore the tree, Vyasadeva explains, had grown luxuriously. The fruits were there, the branches were there, the main branch was Karna. Without Karna, I can't stop Mahabharata description. He was the nastiest of all. Why he is nastiest? Because he created such a show of himself that even sometime devotee children, if you ask them, whom do you like? Karna is my hero. I said, how can you do like this? How can you say Karna is your hero? He is responsible for such a criticism of Krishna and Arjun. Any literature which is available in India, written by so many famous commentators, so many people, whether in the south, in Bengal, in Maharashtra, even about 700 years old, the one famous poet we used to study in our school, his poems, and he says, if you want to remember someone, he writes a beautiful poem. Poem is descriptive, using good language. Then he says, if you want to glorify, if you want to remember, he said, early morning, Yashastri Sandhya, like we remember our spiritual master morning, afternoon and evening, he says, please remember Karna. Just imagine, he said like that. He said, you remember Karna. Because how, you know, he acted as if so loyal, so, you know, chaste, friendship is everything. And then saying to Krishna, I will save 5 of the Pandavas. He telling Kunti, don't worry, I will protect your 5 Pandavas. As if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As if he is going to protect them. Bhima at least thrice was about to kill him. But he did not kill him. Why? Because Arjuna had taken a vow. And one time Bhima lost it. And Karna said, you glutton, you are only, you know, only to eat nice food. Go and go in the kitchen. So Bhima said, you rascal, I was about to kill you thrice. That time you don't remember all these things. Only remember partial, selective listening. So Bhima was very angry with him. And Karna walked away, thinking that I am glorious. So therefore when he met with Krishna on the battlefield, when the battle between Arjuna and Krishna, Karna took place. And Prabhupada writes, he gives a very common sense understanding. He said, losing with superior is no problem. So therefore, Arjuna was not as alert when he was fighting with Bhishma. Therefore, Krishna has to chastise him twice. Personally went to kill Bhishma, being very angry. Because Arjuna was thinking, anyways, my superior, if he kills me, no problem. Dronacharya does something to me, no problem. After all, my guru. But he said, with equal, he said, when you are fighting with the equal, if there are some ailments, it's okay, no problem. Prabhupada gives that logic. Therefore, with Karna, when Karna was down, trying to remove his chariot wheel, and he warned Arjuna, you know all the rules of the Kshatriya battle. Just see. Just before a few days, what he had done, he had come to Dronacharya, he said, you know, this is difficult. This 16-year-old boy, Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, you know, is Yamaraj, Vayu, Kala put together. And we are not able to do anything with him. Do you have any solution? And Dronacharya said, yeah, there is one solution. Go behind and cut the thread of his bow and break his armor. And Dronacharya said, I'm not saying that you should do it. It's up to you, whatever you want to do. Because he didn't want to take the responsibility. He's giving that advice. Mahabharata is actually like that. He didn't want to take advice. He didn't want to take the responsibility. And Karna said, okay. He was thinking, I am just following the orders of Dronacharya. So the whole affair in the Kaurava camp is that I am doing on behalf of somebody else. I am not responsible. So he comes and cuts off the thread from behind, breaks the armor. And Abhimanyu is amazed and shocked. He said, "What is this?" And they shoot him. One after another, six, you know, animals. Actually, Mahabharata says, after they acted like that, meanly, he says, they were like six ferocious animals slaughtering a young lad. How can Arjuna tolerate? And then Karna is saying, you know the fair fight. You cannot shoot any arrows. And Arjuna stopped because again, he is Yudhishthira's brother. A simple brother. Except Bhima, everybody else was, they could have been killed by the Kurus instantly by their ill means. But Krishna was there, Bhima was there, they did not allow anything to happen to the Pandavas. So then Krishna said, "Wow, now you are remembering." He said, "All dharma is remembered by you now. Very good." Actually, all the verses spoken by Krishna are so sarcastic and so sharp and piercing. He says that how unfortunate is that people only remember dharma. They remember dharma and they condemn dharma when they are in difficulty. He said, "My dear Karna, you are condemning, what are you condemning? You are condemning dharma. Oh, hell with this destiny. When we have done so much for dharma and dharma is not helping us at the time of when we need it the most." He said, he actually condemns dharma, Karna. He said, "This is how the dharma is acting with me." Krishna said, "Oh," he said, "that's what most conditioned soul do. They condemn dharma." And then Krishna lists, when Draupadi was being disrobed, what was that dharma? When the gambling match was taking place, what was that dharma? When the Pandavas were burned, what was that dharma? When Abhimanyu was killed, what was that dharma? Then Karna, you did not remember dharma. Now you are remembering dharma. Arjuna, kill him. Butcher him. He doesn't deserve any mercy. You can't tell a police officer when he is handling a criminal. What does he need? He needs a death. Like a animal being butchered. So similarly, Krishna said, butcher him. He does not deserve to die on the chariot. Let him die in the soil. And Arjuna raised his weapon. And Krishna built up Arjuna's anger. That's how these Vaishnavas cannot be angry. How can you make Arjuna angry? It's not possible. He is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, "My Lord." Prabhupada writes, Arjuna was already compassionate to his own people. Then he extended his compassion and he became compassionate to even the enemy soldiers. And what kind of enemies? They are not ordinary enemies. You know, the enemies from their very birth. The enemies, the Kurus were enemies from very birth. Because when Yudhishthira Maharaj was born, Gandhari struck her embryo, you know, her belly. That was the beginning of their enmity towards the Pandavas. Duryodhan came out howling, you know, barking, braying like an ass, exhibiting his enmity towards Yudhishthira Maharaj. "You are already there. You are already there. You are superior to me." That was his enmity. And what they did not do? Of course, if it was only enmity of relationship, that's one thing, that is material. But they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are envious of the very principle of dharma. They are envious of devotional service. They were stubborn. So therefore, even Arjuna, actually following the Veda, the Vedanta, the Yoga Sutras, Yoga Sutras says that person should be forgiving even to one's enemy. Arjuna is trying to follow that Dharma Shastra. Krishna said, "I don't want to use Dharma Shastra for establishing dharma. I want to use all ill means to establish dharma." So he said, "Shoot him." So Arjuna was not willing. But just see, Arjuna is eternally willing to take bad name for killing Karna. Why? Because bad people will condemn Arjuna. But Krishna said, "Kill him." And Arjuna took this very powerful arrow, which was given by Lord Shiva, and cut off the head of Karna. And Krishna gave benefit to Karna also. He sent him back to the spiritual world. Just see. That is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, what was it? Some other you are connected to the Pandavas. He was brother of the Pandavas. And he was connected by Arjuna arrows. That was his connection. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for favoring Pandavas, he did everything. Therefore, such Pandavas, ultimately, when the Lord was performing his pastime, he is all the time performing his pastime in Vrindavan. Our acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was excavating the Radha Kund, they came there. The Pandavas are invited. Krishna was missing the Pandavas. Ultimately, Krishna comes back to Vrindavan. We can see from that point of view also. They were called upon. Come and stay here in Vrindavan. That's how the Pandavas are very, very close to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, whether we read Bhagavat or Bhagavad Gita or Brihad Bhagavatamrita or any Vedic literature, they are like that essence. Just like when you eat halwa, tomorrow there is a big feast on the occasion of Radha Gopinath's appearance day. Then whatever sweet, whatever special item is there, there is one ingredient which we don't come to know. But without that ingredient, the food doesn't taste good. There will be always one ingredient, one item. That is the secret of the cook. He will give all the recipe, but that one item he may avoid to give. Why? Because that is what causes the taste to that item. Like essence in the halwa. Similarly, that essence in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is the personification, the Pandavas. They are always there. For glorifying the Pandavas, as Radha Parth Sarthi, as Bhishma glorifies Vijay Rathe, all names connected to Krishna, all names, Krishna's name connected to Pandavas. Why? Because he has no existence without his devotees. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.